Hello and welcome to Transformative Taskmaster, a podcast by fans, for fans, and about fans. This episode, TK will be speaking with fic author Unquiet Spirit. Together, they'll be discussing what RPF is and why people write it, as well as the concept of kayfabe. They'll be talking about pro wrestling, camp, and drag as they relate to Taskmaster.
Unquiet Spirit, welcome to the Transformative Taskmaster podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you. Now, you're here to talk today about RPF, celebrities' interactions with RPF, all that kind of stuff. So before we really get into it, tell me about your background in fandom and who you are in the Taskmaster fandom, if you're comfortable with that.
Sure. So I've been in fandom since I was, I don't know, like 12. I mean, honestly, I've been writing fanfic since before I knew what fanfic was, but that's when I actually like got internet access and discovered that other people do this too.
Yeah.
and so I started out in Harry Potter fandom. And then around 2008, due to the election in the U.S., I got into real person fandom, which is RPF, because I got into, like, you know, Pundit and Daily Show and Colbert Report fanfic. And so I've basically been almost exclusively an RPF fan since 2008. So coming up on 20 years now, which is insane.
Yeah.
and in Taskmaster fandom, I got interested in it through being a fan of, sort of a casual fan of James A. Caster, and then like seeing clips of him on Taskmaster and finally watching an episode and everything like that. So that was 2 years ago, pretty much exactly 2 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like within like three episodes, I was like, there's fanfic of this. Let me go look at it. So I just knew. And then like, as I was watching, I got super inspired and actually started writing and posting my first fic before I'd even like watched all the episodes.
Wow.
And it's like based on series 7, of course, with James.
Yeah.
And I also am a member of the Ben Perceived Club. I wrote A Big Boy Like You, which Alice called his current favorite, which is insane if you know what that fic is about. So that's who I am.
That's amazing. So did you start by watching Series 7? Like, that was your first series you watched?
No, I don't think so. I did look back at my YouTube history at one point and, like, traced how I watched it, but I don't remember exactly now. But I think I actually watched like series 4 first because of Noel Fielding. I'm a big fan of him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of like skipped around a lot. But as I was watching series 7, that's when I was like, oh, there's a fic here. Like, I just like saw the storyline in my head as I was watching and started writing it. So
that's amazing. Yeah. All right. So you are going to talk with me today about what people should know about RPF, and specifically what we're going to call them celebrities should know about RPF. So obviously we are in a very special kind of fandom where the hosts of the show that the RPF is, you know, being written about are actively seeking out fanfic of themselves. And that may or may not include other people from Taskmaster. And they're shouting it out, they're name dropping, they're reading segments from it on Seth Meyers. Now, obviously, these people, such as Greg and Alex, don't necessarily see themselves as like a fan of the show. Like, they're part of the show, obviously, but they're not like in the fandom necessarily. They don't know anything about it. Like, what should people know about RPF who haven't been in fandom at all? And then what should like celebrities know about RPF that may or may not be written directly about them?
Okay. Yeah, sure. So first I just want to say that I am like speaking only for myself, but my views do align with like the majority viewpoint most of the time in fandom. So I'm just saying that to be like, I'm not going to like lead astray any celebrities that might be listening to this. If they ever do, I'm giving an accurate impression to the best of my ability of what fandom's like. But yeah, so I feel like fanfic really used to be sort of like this hidden thing that nobody talked about. I mean, like I said, I didn't know that fanfic existed when I started writing it. But now it's sort of like crossed into the mainstream because everybody knows that like 50 Shades of Grey was a fanfic. There's other like movies and stuff being made from fanfic. So everybody has heard of it now and they probably think that they know what it is, but unless you're actually like in fandom, you don't really know like all the details of it. So that's what I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, one of the things I think is a really great sort of overview is an article that came out in Time Magazine years ago. I don't know exactly when it came out. It was like when the last Harry Potter book came out, because it's called The Boy Who Lived Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like an overview of fandom and fan culture. And it's a really great article. But one of the quotes that I pulled out about it, about fanfic writers, is like, they're fans, but they're not silent, couch-bound consumers of media. The culture talks to them and they talk back to the culture in its own language. And that really like captures the essence of transformative fandom in my experience. Is like, we take what the culture gives to us and we're like, we're not just going to accept this. We're going to like reimagine it. We're going to put it out there in our own version. And like, it's sort of transgressive in that way, which I really like.
Yeah.
So like one of the things that's like might not be obvious is like, who is writing fanfic? I feel like people might have an idea of like a typical like nerdy dude, like middle-aged white guy in his mother's basement or something writing Star Wars fanfic. And yeah, I'm sure there are people like that. But most people who write fanfic are the people who want different stories from what they see in the culture, right? So they are more likely to be queer, AFAB, neurodivergent, people of color, all of those things together than like a mainstream fan would be.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us, like myself, have been writing fanfics since like before we knew what it was. Like I was like 6 writing like fan favorite cartoons, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It just seems to be like an innate part of human nature for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I, like you, was writing fanfic before I knew what it was, based on like video games that I was playing when I was a kid, and mostly just video games, honestly. I was like, did I write like fanfic about shows? I'm like, I don't think I did. I think it was just video games that I played. So yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that portion of it, like personally from my personal experience. And also having also been in the Harry Potter fandom for a really, really long time, like growing up with it, going to the midnight book releases, mm-hmm. you know, it was,
yeah,
it was definitely like a family thing, but then it became an online thing. And then it was, I mean, it wasn't RPF, but it was, you know, a lot of fan fiction, which I both mm-hmm. wrote and was a copy editor for a couple of years. Cool. Yeah, I mean, it used to be really fun, but, you know, now, of course, that J.K. Rowling is a transphobe, not really in that fandom anymore. So that's unfortunate. But yeah, so yeah, I had personally not known even about RPF until just recent years, I think, because I had known about it, I think, because like some K-pop bands or something were doing RPF about K-pop bands or something. And I was like, oh, I'm like, okay. I guess that makes sense, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I watched Taskmaster. And then I only realized when Alex brought up fic in series 15 that I paused the video and I was like, hold up, what? And I went to AO3 and I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah. It's so funny to me that there's this divide, it seems to be, between people who are like, don't know that the fanfic exists until he brought it up, and people who watch it and were immediately like, there's fanfic, let me look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's it definitely feels like there's two kinds of people, where it's like, of course there's going to be fanfic, and oh my gosh, there's what?
Yeah.
And I definitely, I mean, I don't know how Greg and Alex interact with fandom spaces, period. Mm-hmm. Not even talking about Taskmaster. But from what I have kind of perceived, and this is only basing it off of when Alex read, or when Alex and Greg read / sung an RPF like fic about themselves on the Horn Section podcast, Alex seemed to bring it up quite casually, And Greg was completely, like, blown out of the water. And so it's kind of like Alex is, you know, like in this situation, Alex is you, where he's like, of course there's fanfic written about us. And Greg is me, where I'm like, there, what? Like, with since when? So keeping that in mind, like, obviously every person slash celebrity is going to have a different take on RPF, whether or not it's about themselves. But coming from a fan standpoint, what are, like, the key points or the most important things that you would say, like, are paramount to someone knowing about RPF?
So I think that there's a lot of misconceptions, like, within and outside fandom. There's misconceptions about fandom generally, really. Like, a lot of people think that all fanfic is smut. And, you know, a lot of it is smut, but not all of it. And actually, I think the majority on AO3 is not rated explicit. But it's also important when you're looking at fanfic that's smutty is, like, who wrote this and why did they write this, right? Because it's not the same as pornography that's created for and by straight men for, like, the male gaze, right? It's it's different when it's created by a young, queer, AFAB, neurodivergent person. The intention is different. You have to look at it differently or you're not going to understand it. So that's one thing that for fandom in general and for RPF is important to keep in mind. And, you know, for RPF, I feel like there's this sort of perception that we're doing it to get their attention and we, like, want them to shout us out. And a lot of us, like, I didn't want him to shout me out. I thought it was funny when he did, but I wasn't, like, looking for that. I actually had the Alex do not read tag. which he didn't read the tag. So, yep. It's not really about, like, connecting with the creator so much as it's about connecting with each other and, like, having a community with each other. Like, we write stories for each other. We, like, have exchanges and we have, you know, group chat where we talk to each other. It's about that community connection. Mm-hmm. And there's actually, like, sort of a trend right now in fandom. I would say I see a lot of posts on Tumblr about this, about how people are becoming more passive fans in fandom and, like, not interacting as much, not leaving comments as much. And people are really concerned about this as, like destroying this part of fandom that we all cherish. And then another thing about RPF is people think it comes out of, like, a parasocial relationship that's unhealthy. So at first, I just want to say that it's possible to have healthy parasocial relationships. Like, almost everybody has some sort of a parasocial relationship. And they do benefit both the fans and the celebrities. Like, there's another Time magazine article actually called In Defense of Parasocial Relationships that goes over this and studies that have been done about how they, like, for fans, increase confidence, decrease loneliness because of that connection with other fans, inspire creativity, not even just fanfic, but, like, maybe your favorite celebrity is a musician and you want to, like, learn how to play an instrument so you can do covers of their songs or something. And then there was also, like, this tool developed by psychologists called the Celebrity Attitude Scale, which is online. You can take it yourself to, like, measure the level of your parasocial connection to a celebrity. And they divide it into, like, three groups at the end. And only the third group is the one that is associated with, like, unhealthy behavior and poor mental health sort of things. And it's only, like, 3-5% of people, they say, falls in that group, which I think is high, actually, because even in fandom, I've only known, like, 2 or 3 people that I would say would fall in that group.
Right.
So of all the years I've been in fandom, that's the amount of behavior I've seen that crosses that line. Mm-hmm. I think most fans are in the second category, which is, like, they call it, like, intense personal connection, but it's not, like, unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even in that category. I'm in the first category. So I'm kind of an outlier with this fandom.
Right.
But yeah, so RPF specifically, it's stigmatized within fandom, even though it has, like, this long history. Like, Shakespeare wrote about real people. Homer wrote about real people. Even up to today, Noel Fielding's series about Dick Turpin, like, he's doing RPF of a murderer. That's literally what that show is RPF of a murderer. And, you know, not even just historical RPF exists in TV today. There's, like, The Crown, I think, had, like, a made-up scene about Princess Diana meeting Prince Charles. And, like, I forget the name of it. There's that series on Netflix about the scam artist, Anna Becoming Anna or whatever it's called, where they're like, at the beginning, they're like, parts of this are completely made up. Like, it's RPF. It's just like put on television. So yeah, just to like keep that in mind, even though it's stigmatized, there is a long history of this. It does seem to be something, again, that's innate in human nature to make up stories about real people that you don't know. Right. But yeah, I think it's important for celebrities to keep in mind that it is stigmatized and that it has led to doxing fans. And so when you're a celebrity and you have that sort of influence over the rest of your fan base that might not agree with this, just like have that in your head when you're talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the thing that's really special about Greg and Alex is that whenever they bring it up, they're always so kind about it. Like they're never, they never bring it up in a way that's like, I mean, like, you know, Greg will make the occasional comment that's like, oh, those perverts on the internet or whatever. But it's all like very good heart, like good natured, like lighthearted type of comments. And like, especially with the Seth Meyers recording recently, where, you know, Alex is like, I think what he's trying to say is like, yeah, it's this horrible, horrible stuff that Greg does to me. But what he ends up saying is like, horrible, horrible. Now the writing is good. Like, let me point that out. The writing is good. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. And so, you know, like every time they bring it up, it's just like, they're always very kind about like, I enjoyed the writing of this. The writing is good. You know, it's not something that we're bringing up to make fun of the author. It's just like we're making fun of like our relationship with each other, like me and Alex, you know, if Greg is saying that. And because it is funny, like, and it is really interesting to delve down into, you know, what their relationship is. For sure on the show and in the Taskmaster canon, because the canon is just wild to begin with. Like, there's just so many contradictions and like dom sub dynamics and everything like that. But I really do appreciate that whenever they do shout out Vic, it's always with a certain kind of reverence almost of like, yeah, these people are good. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. I really appreciate that as well, because not every, you know, not every public reaction is like that. And we don't know exactly like what the reaction was when they actually first learned about it. I think maybe Greg, we do. Maybe that was on the podcast his first actual time learning about it. But with Alex, we don't know. So we don't know. Like, maybe he had a bad reaction at first and then he came around to it. But I do appreciate that in public, they do have this, they walk this line of like, yeah, it's weird, but it's also funny. It's good. We don't really mind it that much. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that like, having them be aware of fanfic and the fact that there's specifically fanfic about the two of them and there's a lot of it, and they just like really lean into it and everything. I mean, at this point, I think that they're just having a lot of fun, because in the New York City Q&A that they just did last month, they like. I was in the audience for it, and it was probably the first 10 minutes of the Q&A, Greg brought up fanfic of his own volition. Like, there wasn't a question being like, oh, so what do you think about the fanfic that's being written about you two? It's like, no, Greg just brought that up on his own. And he was like laughing the entire time, and he's like, it's just amazing stuff, you know, like it's some of the hottest stuff I've ever been involved in, and just like really having fun with it, which is hilarious. But
it's funny that like it was of their own volition. Last time they were in New York, I went to that Q&A event, which, if you know about it, it was a very small room. I think it was like 200 people in the room, and I was literally about 6 feet in front of them. And so when they were reading out the audience questions, one of them was, what's your favorite fanfic? And I'm like, oh my God, this was like 2 months after they had mentioned mine as Alex's favorite. I was like, oh my God, if he says it again, I'm sitting here in front of him next to my mother, mind you, my mom sitting next to me. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to hide my reaction. Luckily, by that point, he had completely forgotten my fanfic. So he's talking about other ones. But yeah, it was really funny. At that point they were still it was still like in response to a question, and then now they're just bringing it up by themselves.
Just a fun game that they get to play with the fans, which is really fun, honestly, because I know that a lot of RPF in other fandoms, they don't get that kind of back and forth with the people that they write about or the creators of the show or whatever. And so it is definitely in those spaces, a lot like what you said earlier, which was like just writing fic for the sake of, you know, like writing fic, you know, to just like have fun with it. And I like, you know, most of us, I feel like in the Taskmaster fandom, we're not out here writing fic so that they bring it up. Like, yeah. that just happens to be a side effect of it. But I do think that it's a really fun game that we all play with Greg and Alex of kind of throwing the ball to one another and, you know, seeing what they have to say about it, which is, yeah, it's just a good time.
Yeah. But I think that is an important point to bring up, that like not everyone is even comfortable with the creator interacting with their fic. Some are actually very, very like, no, I would die. I would literally die if they mentioned anything to do with my fic. So like, if you're a celebrity, if there's like a access barrier to a fic, there's a reason for that. And like, maybe like pay attention to that.
Right.
I don't want to go into too much detail, but there are like fics that are sort of hidden away, and there's a reason they're hidden away.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, keep that in mind. Also, you know, something that maybe isn't obvious within fandom, it's considered very bad manners to share the fic directly with the person that it's about.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's done that to you, a fan has done that to you, just know that the rest of us don't think that's okay.
Yep.
But also, yeah, that's something that's just like not obvious. We'd want to respect your boundaries, and you're right not to engage. But yeah, like when on this most recent time on Seth Meyers, the way Seth sort of segued into asking them about,
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, he sort of made it sound like somebody had sent them it, and I was like,
no.
We have not sent them anything.
Yeah. Like, these guys are out here on their own, actively seeking out these fics. Like, trust and believe, we are not emailing, tweeting Alex and Greg, being like, oh, check this out. Like, no. Like, if they want to bring up my fic on their own, totally fine. Very, very happy with it. But I there's no way you would ever get me to send them anything. Like,
no.
Nope. And this is coming from someone who, like, I've had RPF written about me and like handed to me, and I did not like that at all. And it was very well intentioned. It wasn't weird, like, the writing wasn't like weird. It wasn't like I was in weird positions or or doing weird stuff or anything like that, but it was a very uncomfortable feeling for me that I was like, okay, like, you know, if I wanted to like seek out, you know, people writing fics about me or whatever, like, you know, that's one thing, but like having it handed to me and, you know, being like, here, we like wrote a thing about you, and I was like, okay. that's nice. So I definitely think that with Greg and Alex, like, they 100% do not have to like bring up fanfic at all. They did not have to print out multiple titles and excerpts from fanfic to read out on Seth Meyers. Like, they chose to do that, and I feel like that's a huge difference between somebody sending them something and them being like, we're gonna actively seek this out, we're gonna print it out, and we're gonna read it. Like, this is part of what we're gonna do today.
It's definitely and I've had not the same experience because it wasn't RPF, but I do write original fiction as well, and somebody sent me fanfic of my characters, and even that I was like, no, if I wanted to see this, I would go look. I don't need to see this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a difference between writing RPF of somebody who is like famous, like on TV, in films famous, versus writing RPF of somebody who's like not at that level at all.
For sure.
And the difference is because there's a persona when you're like at a certain level of fame. Like, like most RPF fans, we don't view it as we're writing fan fiction about the real person. We're writing fan fiction about their persona. And I don't mean like comedy persona. I'm going to use James Acaster as an example here because he's got a persona that's distinctive, so it's easy to explain.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like James Acaster, the stage comedy persona, like cartoon man dude that he does. And then when he's like doing an interview where he's not trying to be funny, then he's James Acaster doing an interview, but that's still a public persona, right? Because then there's James Acaster at home playing with his cats.
Yeah.
And we don't know that guy.
Yeah, right.
Like, and I'm sure he would be the first person to be like, if even if you've seen everything that I've put out publicly, you don't know me.
Yeah.
Right. So when I'm writing my character, who's also called James Acaster, I'm drawing inspiration from like his comedy persona and his like non-comedy public persona,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know anything beyond that. So I can't be drawing inspiration from him as a real person, you know?
Right. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. And like with Greg and Alex, it's even more complex because they have like the
so many
cast
personas.
Master and the assistant, and yeah. then they have their comedy personas, and then they have their non-comedy. Actually, Alex doesn't really have a non-comedy public persona, which is weird.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of different personas that we will talk about shortly. But before we get to that, we're gonna play a little game. But before we get to the game, are there any like final points you wanna convey to someone who's famous that is encountering RPF, or do you think we've pretty much covered everything?
Yeah, I think it's just like important to know that you are an outsider. I don't say that to be mean. It's just like to be aware that you're an outsider. You're stepping into a culture you don't know. You're probably not going to understand it. So just like be aware that you're like a guest in this space. And like I said, keep in mind that your public reaction or how you talk about it publicly is going to influence the rest of your fans and how they talk about it as well.
Yeah.
And we have seen cases where celebrities will say something very negative and then people get harmed because of that.
Right.
So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the game section. So this game is called Fact or Fanfic. Because as we know in the Taskmaster universe, Greg and Alex say the most ridiculous things to each other, and it just seems like the fic writes itself. So so we've come up with a game called Fact or Fanfic, in which I will read you three separate quotes, and all of these quotes are going to be Greg's introduction to Alex at the beginning of an episode of Taskmaster. And you will tell me whether you think it was something that someone wrote in a fic that they said, or if it was something that they actually said.
Okay.
So that's what the game is. All right. So first one, here we go. And next to me, a man who confided to me while drunk that he broke his wrist in a horse wanking competition, and he didn't even get third place. It's little Alex Horn.
Oh my god, that's hard. I want to say that's fic.
It is fic. Yay!
Okay.
Yeah, that was that's my fic, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wrote like 10 episode banter sections very recently. That's called That's Our Show.
Okay.
Yeah,
you did a good job, because that sounds exactly like something Greg would say. The only reason I said it was fic, I was like, Channel 4 probably wouldn't allow him to say horse wink.
Yeah. Good times. Okay, so good. That was number one. Okay, number two. Now he's small, he's hairy, and he sleeps in my underpants. It's little Alex Horn.
Pretty sure that's fact. That sounds familiar.
It is fact. That one was from series 12, episode 6.
Nice.
Yes. Okay, last one. These are so hard to read with a straight face. And next to me, like a blob of mayonnaise that's dripped out of your sandwich onto your trousers, there to remain a nagging reminder of all the clumsy mistakes in life you've ever made, it's little Alex Horn.
I like that, but I think that's fict as well.
That one's fact, actually.
Really? Where's yeah. that from?
That's series 6, episode 4.
See, I don't watch series 6. I don't rewatch series 6 that often, yeah. which is weird because that's the one where they kissed, but I just right. don't.
Nice. Okay, well, you will get a little trophy on the website, so good job. All right, so continuing the conversation. Now, Ed Gamble has brought this up a few times, I think mostly on the Off Menu podcast. Or actually, it's probably been on the Off Menu podcast and on the official Taskmaster podcast, which is the concept of kayfabe. Now, I know that Ed is a huge wrestling fan, and mm-hmm. I know nothing about wrestling at all. But I know that you know a little bit about kayfabe. So talk to me a little bit about kayfabe. Like, what is it, and how does it relate to the Taskmaster universe?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because I had independently sort of created a post on Tumblr about kayfabe and how it can relate to Taskmaster, RPF, and other forms of RPF as well. This is sort of all I'm going to say here. I'll say is more based on my personal opinion and experience than what we talked about before. So just to put that out there. And I'm also not really an expert in pro wrestling, but I did do some research before we started the interview here. So like you said, Ed Gamble's a big fan of pro wrestling. His wife, Charlie, actually does like independent pro wrestling. She's like in a gym for it. I don't know what it is. It's like called Play Fight or something. It's pretty cool. But kayfabe is spelled K-A-Y-F-A-B-E, and it's the tacit agreement between the wrestlers and the fans to pretend that these staged or scripted events are genuine, and the play acting that is involved in maintaining the illusion of genuineness. So in pro wrestling, it really actually started as a way to fix fights for gambling. Like, they wanted to make money off the gambling, so they wanted to fix the fight. So they would just say, okay, you're going to win this fight. And that was all it was. And then they discovered that if they add a storyline into like why this guy is winning, it actually brings in more crowds and again, more money. So capitalism led to kayfabe, basically. Right. And then it was sort of like an open secret. Like, obviously, like, you know, wrestling is like very over the top. You don't really believe it. Even if you didn't know that like it's fake, you would be like, yeah, that's fake. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't confirmed that it was scripted or staged until 1989, I learned, which is when Vince McMahon went to the New Jersey legislature and was like, I don't want to pay money to your athletic commission, and I shouldn't have to because I'm not actually doing an athletic competition. It's an athletic performance is what I'm doing, basically, is what mm-hmm. he said. So that day that he like said that and like put that on the record is sort of, it's been referred to as like the day kayfabe died in wrestling, but it didn't really die. Like, it still continues. It's just like the audience is more aware of it now. Mm-hmm. So it's become like I said, this like tacit agreement to like just, enter into this make-believe world, basically.
Mm-hmm. So how does kayfabe relate to Taskmaster?
So I would say like, what happens with Taskmaster, it's not exactly the same thing as pro wrestling, but I like it as like a framework because it's that shared tacit agreement part of it that I think is useful. It's like when we as fans talk about Greg and Alex's relationship as if they're actually in a sexual relationship, we are joining in with the play acting that they're doing, right? So mm-hmm. we're creating this shared fiction together without acknowledging it explicitly, because we all know that like it's fake. So that's the main thing that I would say is like a good parallel. Also, like, wrestling is scripted, yes, but I didn't know this until I was researching it. There is improv in wrestling as well. Mm-hmm. Like, they know who's gonna end or who's gonna win the match.
Yeah.
But they can tell each other during the match, like, okay, I'm gonna do this move and you do this move. And you can see this sometimes, or that's actually why a lot of wrestlers have long hair, so that they can like hide their mouth when they're talking to each other during cool. the match to like, yeah, to improv it. And also like when you see like a wrestler on a mic in the ring, just like being like, I'm going to beat this guy up. Some of that's improv as well.
Uh-huh.
Which you can tell sometimes because they're not that great at it. Sorry. I'm not really a fan of wrestling. But yeah, so that really mirrors that in Taskmaster on the show and off, there are bits that are scripted and bits that they're just improvising as they go. And there's like, you can see sort of the negotiation between them happening like silently sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of like the kiss in particular, I feel like was planned, but then there was like sort of a negotiation of like how they're going to do it. And some other moments like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was at the Q&A in New York, like, they weren't, so Greg and Alex weren't there as the Taskmaster and his assistant. They weren't in their, you know, their outfits, their Taskmaster outfits. They were there just, like, in their, like, you know, nice clothes, regular clothes, whatever. But they also weren't, it didn't feel like they were, so we were saying earlier that they have, like, a lot of different type of like personas. So they have their Taskmaster persona, they have their studio Taskmaster persona, because that's different than like the on mm-hmm. screen, like, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Like, you know what I'm talking about, like the interstitials yeah. and stuff like that, or the pre-recorded bits or anything like that. But then they also have like Greg and Alex go do Taskmaster related stuff, and that's a whole separate persona, because they'll mm-hmm. do interviews together where they're not quite their personas, and they'll talk about, you know, their personas on Taskmaster. But when they were at the Q&A, it was really interesting because their personas were not quite the Taskmaster studio ones and not quite the normal interview ones, but something somewhere between. And I think it was because they had such a big group of their fans there. And the mm-hmm. the thing that I'm specifically thinking about is that after Greg had brought up fanfic, like much later, we were doing a live task, and during the live task, Alex had to lay down on the ground on his back with his mouth open for people mm-hmm. to fly paper airplanes into. And the way that he was laying down on the stage was Greg was sitting right next to him, like with his mm-hmm. with his legs spread. And mm-hmm. Alex says, "I don't like this view."
Mm-hmm.
And we all laugh, you know. And Greg mm-hmm. says, and Greg leans back, unbuttons his jacket, and leans back in and says, "You're not used to seeing with trousers on, are you?"
Yeah.
And he did not need to say that. Like, yeah. That's not at all what he needed to say. But he chose to mm-hmm. say that. So I feel like, you know, maybe that is kind of one of those kayfabe situations where, like, mm-hmm. he knows full well what he's doing. You know, he's riling us up. And just, like, mm-hmm. it was so funny. Because again, they're not there as Taskmaster and assistant. They're there as Greg and Alex.
Mm-hmm.
And so it definitely wasn't something that needed to happen. It for sure was not scripted.
Yeah.
But yeah, that definitely comes to mind when kayfabe is kind of brought up. But relating to that, in our group chat, we were talking about kayfabe, and somebody said that they love using the concept of kayfabe because it captures the camp and the joy of fandom. And to me, camp is a word that is very queer coded, because I did not know what camp was until I started watching like Drag Race and drag shows. Mm-hmm. And like, and if you ask me like right now, what is camp? I can't mm-hmm. say words that would make sense, you know, like in a sentence. I would just have to like think about the costuming and the like characters and all this kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. is that another parallel that you see in the Taskmaster fandom?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and camp is like really, really hard to define, as demonstrated by I think a few years ago now, the Met Gala's theme was camp, and then like everybody didn't know what camp was if you saw what they wore. So it created this whole conversation about like what is camp. But yeah, if you actually like go back to one of the first mentions of camp in print, it says you can't camp about something you don't take seriously. You're not making fun of it. You're making fun out of it. You're expressing what is basically serious to you in terms of fun and artifice and elegance. And that's from The World in the Evening by Christopher Isherwood. So it is like that combination of like taking a serious subject and making fun with it. In a very like artificial heightened way. And like you said, like drag is like probably the most famous form of camp, but also wrestling is camp, even mm-hmm. though wrestling is not really like, I don't think people think of it as like a queer thing. It right. is camp. And yeah, so I really like that when that was pointed out, I was like, oh yeah, it does capture that camp aspect as well. And you know, camp has always been sort of like this tool for like queer transgression. Like camp was used at Stonewall to subvert the authority of the police. There were protesters like doing like high kicks like Rockettes and singing to the cops. It was very like a campy thing.
Yeah.
And you know, drag is like that transgression as well. And I would say that fandom is camp and is a form of like queer transgression. Like I was saying at the beginning, I think the transgression part is what I really like about fandom. And like RPF, like reimagining what reality can be and not just accepting what is presented to you. So yeah, I really like that parallel.
So is there anything else like relating to kayfabe that we haven't talked about that you'd like to bring up before we wrap up?
I just think it's fun how like committed to it Alex is. Like he's like a wrestler before 1989 when they would not drop kayfabe in public. Like people would, there's crazy stories of what wrestlers did to like keep from breaking kayfabe before it was actually like officially broken. And Alex is like that. He's like pathologically committed to the bit.
Yeah.
And it's like really jarring when he does actually break it, which like the only really like clear case I can think of is the first time they went on Seth Meyers last year. He like completely broke kayfabe and I was like, this is so weird. He's like talking about how he created the show and he's actually the boss and everything. And then Greg tried to go into it. Greg tried to start to like bring in the persona and Alex was like, I'm worried they're gonna think that we're not joking.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
He like sort of shut it down, which is really weird. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Poor guy. He's like so scared of American audiences or something. Like because like this year he was like, I'm not comfortable with talking about it on American television. And I was like, I mean, yeah. Valid, but you know, I think
not that scary.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our country may be a mess right now, but you know, that's you can be yourselves. We're not gonna tear you apart for it.
Yeah, we're not gonna boot you out of America. It's yeah. Okay.
In fact, keep being yourselves because that's what's getting a lot of us through this time
yeah.
right now. Honestly.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think Alex has a very strong habit of yes anding into the ground, mm-hmm. which you mm-hmm. love to see. I mean, it can be so awkward. And, you know, like when I forget what episode it was, but when Greg is like, I'm just going to let you run this bit into the ground until there's pin drop silence. Mm-hmm. And then I can continue yeah. the show. And Alex just keeps going. I think it's about like yeah. the hen nights that he does or whatever, but he just keeps yeah. going. And it's so funny. And like, I'm sure that there are people out there that would be like, okay, like, let's wrap this up. Like, you know, I'm kind of sick of this. I never get sick of when Alex does that. It's just so, so funny to me. It's just like peak comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very, very good at like just like letting the uncomfortableness be there.
I yeah. I really love it. And something that I'm going to have another couple guests that I haven't recorded yet, but we're going to be talking about costuming and costume designs mm-hmm. in Taskmaster. But I think one of the things that comes to mind for me for camp specifically in Taskmaster is when Alex started the show, you know, in series one, I think he had like a nice jacket and really nice shoes, like shoes you would wear to a wedding. And then of course, by a few series in, he's wearing like this crap jacket and these like plastic shoes and all this kind of, and it's, it just, It's like the campiness of like you're wearing just these horrible clothes that like don't really fit you very well. And mm-hmm. you could be wearing something really nice because you did mm-hmm. wear something really nice, you know, at the very beginning.
Yeah. I think even Alex's wardrobe out of costume is very camp. Oh, yeah. Like his like Golden Girls sweatshirts and stuff. It's very camp.
Yeah, all his like brightly colored jumpers and stuff. Just and his like mm-hmm. golden shoes. Mm-hmm. I love his sense of style. It's incredible. All right, so we're going to wrap up this podcast. So obviously you are on AO3. You're also on Tumblr. Do you want to tell us where we can find you online?
Yeah, so I'm Unquiet Spirit on AO3 and Unquiet Spirit AO3 on Tumblr. And that's literally the only active social media that I have. So if you see anyone anywhere else claiming to be me, that's not me. I just say that because somebody did actually do that.
Are you serious?
Somebody did do that. Yeah. After that outtake drop, somebody was like, that's my fic. And I was like, no, it's not.
No. What a weird thing to like claim.
I know.
That's wild.
I know. I was like, have you looked at the fic? I don't think you want to claim this one.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to try to steal. We're gonna end here with any fan work recommendations from our wonderful, beautiful little Taskmaster fandom we have. What's like your favorite thing that you want to shout out?
I want to shout out an artist who I love both as an artist and as a person. They're an amazing person. It's Kumaku, Kum, as we call them. And they have so much amazing art. I actually own some of it, like physically. I got some sent to me. And the one in particular that I want to shout out, though, is the portrait of Greg from like chest up holding the little tiny Alex by the back of his jacket. You probably know what I'm talking about.
I sure do. Yeah. Yeah.
That one is like, I love that one. It always reminds me of like the part in Peter Pan where they hold Tinkerbell by her wings and like slap her on the bottom. So yeah, that's my shout out is that one artwork.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Their art is gorgeous. I also like have also now recently have prints and stickers mm-hmm. and pins and all sorts of yummy stuff, but yeah, that's we'll be sure to link that on the website. Well, thanks so much for coming on and talking about kayfabe and RPF and all that good stuff. We've really enjoyed having you, so thank you.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you online.
Bye.
And that was TK speaking with Unquiet Spirit on Fic, RPF, and Why People Write It. You can find a list of the fan works discussed on this episode on our website, tftaskmaster.uk. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode about the horn section and the Taskmaster live experience. If you have any questions, fan work recommendations, suggestions, or anything else, you can email us at fans@tftaskmaster.uk.